Now that you are at Mountain View Church and Pastor Dave is not here. You know where he is? Nice. Okay, good. What if I were to tell you that Pastor Dave this morning is trying to fulfill a lifelong dream? You're thinking, all right, what would that be? If you've been in his basement that just reeks of blue and orange, and it's got every bit of paraphernalia that's associated with the Denver Broncos, and what if I told you this morning that Dave is at Dove Valley and he's trying to make the Denver Bronco team? I don't get it. Why is that funny? Now you're thinking right off there, so I can't make that team, and I can run faster than Dave. And I know Scott Marr can hit people harder than Dave, and Scott Marr can't make the Denver Bronco team. And we've got right there the beginning of one of the biggest issues that we wrestle with in life. Some of my greatest dreams, some of the things I want to get most excited about, the things I think are really valuable in my life, I don't know how to get to unless I can earn them. And frankly, we've each been learning that process ever since we were, you know, this tall. Bryn is already learning about, can I get something good? Can I get something I want? Can I get something that I value? How do I do it? Because Dad says, if you're good, we're going to play putt-putt golf. Mom says, if you'll clean up your room, I'll take you to McDonald's and we get a Happy Meal. Because in Bryn's life right now, Happy Meal is about as good as it gets. But see, every single one of us have come into life and come into whatever our family setting was, and that's what we've learned. That I try good enough, I try hard enough, I try often enough, and I get something good. You don't get to go to school, I don't care what grade you're in, you don't get to go to school and show up half of the time and never crack a book and never pay attention and get a good grade. That only comes in college. Okay. But you've learned. I learned. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to do the right thing. And it was that way at any age in life. You know, a mom that's going back and forth and back and forth with little mischievous who's-its and can't keep him straight, and he's going crazy all over the house, and finally she says, how do you think you're ever going to get into heaven? And he thinks about it a minute, and he says, I'm going to run in and out and in and out and in and out, and I'm going to slam doors and run in and out and slam doors until Jesus finally says, Jimmy, you either stay in or get out, and I'll stay. And he learned early on, I just got to try. Think for a minute in your life. Back to what year? I don't know. What stage of life? Now, don't remember, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Now, if you're not even going to try, where's that going? Some of us have even had it kind of put into that whole Cuisinart of spiritual stuff, and we've heard, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And then we come to this idea of grace. It's a kind of a spiritual word, and so it kind of gets nebulous for a lot of folks. Because we used to think that, for those of us that have ever lived in the South, that grace was about living in a small southern town where everything was hospitable and comfortable and you could come and go and it was just friendly. You didn't have to be anything. You didn't have to do anything. And then some of us thought, well, being graceful, or I'm going to bless you, I'm going to grace you with my presence. There's all the sorts of different pieces that are about something that's really not what we're used to. I'm used to earning. Maybe I'm used to buying. A lot of folks have think, all I've got to do is just get enough money together in life and I can buy my own happiness. I can buy my own comfort. I can buy what I truly value the most. And then somewhere along the line, God comes into life and he says, what I've got is more valuable than anything you're going to find in the created world you live in. Do you want it? Well, we walk that road. And we have this background of, well, I know what I'm not supposed to do when I am after something I want. I want good grades. I study hard. I want a good job. I work hard. I want the right car. I save money. I buy. I'm used to the things that I know about getting good. And God comes in and turns it all upside down and he says, if you want me, if you want what I've got to bring to the table, then here's how it will work. If you've got a Bible with me this morning, would you look at just one verse with me real quick? It's in 2 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians, it's chapter 8, it's verse 9. Now, I'll read it and you follow along or listen. Because God is going to ask you and I a personal question about true value in life. And where are you going to get it? Where's it going to come from? The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christian folks in Corinth, and here is what he says. Do you remember the generosity of Jesus Christ, the Lord of us all? He was rich beyond our telling, yet he became poor for your sakes, so that his poverty might make you rich. The beginning of any single life that will come to God is wrapped up in the perception of need, of value. What do I truly want deep in my heart? What am I after? What am I willing to make my life focus on? And God has created a world of good. And he's excited about us enjoying it. But he's going to say something that goes way deeper to the heart and soul. Jeff, whatever you've got in this world's stuff, you're poor. In fact, you're so poor, you're at a subsistence level and you're not going to make it. And so Jesus is grace personified. You can imagine God himself, hands full of all of the godly resources. You want to be happy? I've got happiness. You want joy in your marriage? You want joy in your job? I've got that. You want kindness to be something that you are immersed in? I've got that. His hands full of his godly resources. And his offer. That's grace. Grace is the invitation. Grace is God's approach. Something for nothing. Because if I'm going to embrace God, if I'm going to hold in my hands what he's got in his, I've got to come to him empty-handed. And that is so difficult to try to wrap your brain around, wrap your heart around. And the biggest thing that comes into play as a part of the problem, one is, do I truly value what God's got in his hands? Could I truly value belonging in his family for eternity? Do I want his resources as I walk through my life? There's the first point. If I learn to say yes, how do I get there? I spent all my life learning to earn something, learning to try hard enough, learning to just stay after it. When I was little, I learned to whine. Whatever it took. When I got to the point where I could not just look at coins, but I could count numbers and recognize the value of money, I realized, well, let's buy it. Well, when I get to this thing about God and about how big he is and about how crazy, holy kind of thing that must be, then I'll just try to be good. Somewhere in there, he's gotta like be pleased with that, doesn't he? Now, his offer is that spiritual word, grace. And coming to God and sharing in his resources is on his terms and his terms only. There is not another religion in the world that uses the word grace. Not one. It's all about earning something, working hard, being something that will impress, and emptying oneself because I'm working so hard that the spiritual it out there will finally be willing to let me in because I tried. And then Christian people have got to figure out all these different pieces of how do I get in? And I hear God offer grace, something for nothing, the invitation. And Jesus hangs on a cross and gets to the point that says, it is finished. And the offer of love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness is then embodied. And God smiling joyously, the scripture's describing as whirling around with joy about anyone who will come to him on his terms. In that same Bible, if you can find the little book of Titus, a little further back than 2 Corinthians, Paul again is writing. And he says this, but when the kindness of God our Savior, and His love towards man appeared, He saved us in His mercy, not by virtue of any moral achievements of ours, but by the cleansing power of a new birth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which He gave us so generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I didn't earn it. I didn't work hard enough for it. It isn't about how smart I am. It's purely the invitation. And see, none of the rest of life works like that. Trust me, if Pastor Dave is down at Dove Valley right now, he ain't getting in. There's no grace in professional football. There isn't grace in anything unless God is part of it. There's a thought. The thing that tends to then let me in this process of considering is, like the verses we read in Titus 3 there, God's wanting a person to be grateful for the invitation, not trying to work on enough pride because I got myself there somehow. I did something that finally got His attention. No, it's about being grateful for His full-handed offer. And you and I will have that whole life experience of earning, of trying, and wrestle with that. How good do I have to be? Well, how often do I have to do it? And all of that doesn't fit into God's economy. A great deal of the time, our pride ends up being something that will be a hindrance to accepting the mercy, embracing the loving Father who said, you cannot remotely get there on your own. If we put it in terms of being a swimmer, every single person on earth is a swimmer. And Bob's here thinking, you know, I'm pretty good. I can swim all the way across the pool. And Don's here thinking, well, you know, I can make two laps. Jeff's over here, you throw me in, I drown. And everybody's got a different swimming ability. Jody says she can swim a mile. She's like a studette in the pool. The problem is, as God describes the whole condition, the distance that needs to be covered to get to God would be like you and I swimming, and we've each got our capacity, but you got to jump in the water in San Francisco and you got to end up in Hawaii. There's the distance. And God says, I don't care how hard you try, pal, you're not making it. It isn't going to happen. You need me. I'm going to swim, you watch. And God says, no, my mercy is free. It's given especially to the people who know they have no chance. Jesus talked about it a little bit, a quick teaching parable when He's with somebody at dinner. Look in your Gospels in Luke chapter 14. There are three verses where He's giving a little story to somebody that just invited Him to dinner. Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then addressing His host, Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner party, don't invite your friends or your brothers or relations or wealthy neighbors, for the chances are they will invite you back and you will be fully repaid. No, when you give a party, invite the poor, the lame, the crippled and the blind. That way lies real happiness for you. They have no means of repaying you. But you will be repaid when good men are rewarded at the resurrection. That's God talking to you and me. He doesn't invite us because we're wealthy or because we're the right relation or because we're the right family or the right country or the right century, wherever we are. He invites us because we are the poor and we are the lame and we are the crippled, and our pride tends a great deal of the time to want to say, no, we're not. I'm good. I can make it. And God says, you need me. It's a swim to Hawaii. I'll pick you up. I'll take you. You can't go that far. Team God. I'm the one in need. The invitation of mercy, of love, of forgiveness, of all his resources is purely free. Me and him. Life's journey then. He tells me I can take my last breath on this earth and take one step into his holy presence. Team God. We're going to close our service this morning with a video. You may have seen some of it or before. It's Team Hoyt. It's an incredible father with a son totally unable to live his own personal dreams. And the dad, God, is willing to empower his son. Carry him. Bring him into full living. You watch, and we'll close in prayer. I don't know a more powerful visual. My pride gets in the way. I can do it. And God says, you need me. It's that simple. So grace is free. We just watched some clips from the Ironman triathlon. 5 mile swim, 100 mile bike ride, and a marathon race. Kind of like life. Long and hard. And then there's the day that you cross the finish line. Because of grace. Would you stand with me, please? Would you consider for a moment wherever you think you are in your life in relation to God or your understanding of free mercy? And would you take a moment to ask the question, where is my family? What do we give each other? Father in heaven, we want to put our pride aside and give you our deep, deep gratitude. If only we could see as clearly as something we just watched, that you carry, you support, you take us through life and there is victory, and there is rich living, and I cannot do it for myself. I pray for our church family and each family in it, for each marriage, for each life, for each parent child. Lord, let us take up your invitation of free love and mercy. Let us take freedom in forgiveness. And then let us give it to each other because you have been so generous in our lives. And Lord, we end our service now with your benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship that is ours in his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.